Happy New Year, everybody. This is the 11th day of the new year of 2021. Are you having a blast this Happy New Year? I hope you are. There are many twists and turns happening in our universe as of today. And thank you and welcome to tuning in to A Voice of a People with Linda Sims here on WWGH 107.1 FM radio. You can also tune in, download app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH 740-383-9944. You can call that number if you have any questions or would like to make any comments concerning the show today. Again, that number is 740-383-9944. We also stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com. Now, once you download that app called TuneIn, you can just go to that app anytime you want to take advantage or listen to any of the talk show programs we have to offer you. Hold on. Somebody's calling. I don't know who, but we'll see. Hello? Hello? Hello,
caller? Hello?
You have the wrong number. Woo, woo, woo. Let's get that squeakiness out of our ear. Okay, sorry. That was the wrong number. I was going to say I didn't give a chance to announce my guest today. But don't forget, once you download that free app on your phone, and it's you can use it on any electronic device, you will have WWGH on your, along with your other apps. And you can listen at any time, okay? Now, let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. Telephone number there is 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson, 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. 740-223-1515 is the number. Or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their free produce will start up again in April of 2021. We also have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 27 years of experience working for you. Their location is LaRue, Ohio. Their telephone number there is 740-262-0939. I have a thought for you today. I'd like to open up my show with that. And it's titled, Tirelessly Working to Bring About Change. And I think this falls to a lot of us. We have been bombarded with the coronavirus and civil unrest and weird weather and all these type of things in our lives have gone in different directions, okay? The one who is tireless works quietly to make changes in themselves and others. Now, that is an excellent thought there. When things go wrong, tirelessness enables me to work toward bringing about a change without complaining. Like when we add bricks to build a foundation, no one notices the actual work, but the result speaks for itself. Sometimes it can be difficult to adjust, especially when the adjustment required is due to someone else's mistakes. When this happens, I have to have faith that this is my contribution to bring about a change. When I adjust and adapt to the situation without feelings of negativity, I will find things changing for the better. And how important is that? That we do not let negativity take control of our thoughts or our actions. And hopefully you're able to use that to your advantage or share with someone else. Tirelessly working to bring about change. And change begins with ourselves. And at this time, I'm going to turn my attention to my guest today, Micah Walker. She is the editor of the Marion Star here in Marion, Ohio. How are you today, Micah?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, doing fine. So happy you had time to come and be on the show.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Thank you.
I just wanted to clear something up. I'm just a reporter, not
the
editor.
A reporter? Okay. Sorry. Maybe I'm speaking things into existence. Nothing wrong with it, right? That's right.
Yeah, well, I want to get there eventually.
Amen. Amen. That's the way to go in, right? Expecting more. Absolutely. So Micah is going to share a little bit about herself and how she came to be a reporter of the Marion Star in Marion, Ohio.
So I've been with the Star for about 6 months now.
Okay.
I report on a little bit of everything, but my focus areas are on education, health and COVID, and businesses in Marion County. So I first heard about the job last summer. Earlier in 2020, I was doing an internship with the Detroit Free Press.
Mm-hmm.
And after that ended, I did a short internship with a PR firm, but that got canceled when the pandemic hit.
Right.
So right. I was just trying to figure out what my next steps were. And so I started applying to different jobs in Michigan, where I'm from. But I wasn't having any good luck. So mm-hmm. I started looking out of state. And I saw an ad for the Marion Star, and my editor, Ben Lenka, he contacted me within a week, and by the end of the week, I had a job offer.
Really? Wow, that's nice. Real nice. Right on time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Because you came to a point where you were willing to travel or to move for this job. Or just to have a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was working part-time with my mother at a welding supply company. But I know I wanted to do something full-time in a creative field like journalism or communications.
Okay. That's good. That's good. And we're so glad to have you here, Micah. We've heard a lot of talk about you and read several articles that you have written. And how were you received here in Marion, Ohio?
Oh, it's been great. People in the community have been really welcoming me with open arms, from the schools, from Dr. Rusi from Marion City Schools,
mm-hmm.
The mayor, Dr. McCall from Marion Technical College, a lot of people in the community. They're there for me when I need them for a story,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
just to show me around the organization or the school.
That's great. Reception is everything when you move to a new place. You know, it means a lot. Help keep your esteem up and keep you motivated to do even more, you know, for the community. Wow, we're so blessed to have you here, Micah. Yes, absolutely. So what do you think of our town?
Oh, it's really nice. I never really grew up in a small town. I came from Dearborn, which is right outside Detroit, Michigan. It's kind of a medium-sized city. So it's been nice to have that small-town feel and just being welcomed by so many people.
Right, great. So what's the difference between this small town and your medium-sized town you moved from?
One thing... not as many cornfields.
Okay.
And then when I was working at my other jobs, I feel like the people weren't as personable as they are here.
Mm-hmm.
And so being here, like, I actually get to know the people, my sources, people I'm working with, and get good relationships with them.
That's good, more personable. And that says a lot, you know, where face-to-face and I guess I like it because when I lived in Atlanta, oh my, it took you 20 minutes to get to a place. You know, like, not like here, it's like 5 minutes, you know, when you live within the city. So that was a big change for me when I moved there. It's like, wow, this only take you a few minutes to get here. 5 minutes. Right, really? 5 minutes? And it would take sometimes an hour because you'd have to find it where you was going, you know, all the highways and people flying and woo. A lot different.
Yeah, I'm used to having things like right close by me too, like the store or yeah, like a grocery store or something, or maybe the mall being like 5-10 minutes away from me. So
okay. So the Marion Star, it used to be in a building over by behind the courthouse, Marion Courthouse. So how big is the Marion Star now? Because they had moved away.
So yes, we're in the middle of moving into a new complex. I don't have the address yet, but. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we've, but since the pandemic, we've mostly been working from home anyway, so we won't be in the office much.
Okay. So is that building too small, too big where you are now, or is it nice? That's new, isn't it? Fairly new, remodeled, where you are now?
Yes, it is a nice building. But I think it was too big for us. There's only four of us on the team.
Okay.
And like I said, we weren't using it much anyway, working from home. So.
Right. So are you the only female reporter?
Yes, I am.
Really? Okay. Nothing wrong with that. Breaking new ground here in Marion, Ohio. That's beautiful. Okay. So how does that make you feel, being the only female? Does it make you work harder, or do they expect more of you or less, your teammates?
I think they expect more of me, more of the same they would as a male reporter. I don't really see a difference there. But everyone's been really nice and accommodating and helping me, you know, get situated here at the Star.
Getting adjusted, yeah. There's always a time period for that, too. Yeah, definitely. New job.
And we just got a new reporter, so I've been helping him. With things too.
Oh, good. So I guess it's growing then, right?
Well, actually, we replaced the reporter because one left a couple of months ago.
Okay. So you still have four. Okay. Alrighty then. So you said you focused on education as far as your interest. Education.
Yes.
Health.
Yes.
And the COVID-19. So what did you find most interesting about COVID-19? Reporting on it.
Well, it's just one interesting thing is just that there's so many different angles you can take reporting on COVID-19. While here I've been focusing mostly on schools and their cases, the number of cases that come into the schools, and the different schedules they have being in school. I know in the beginning of the year, the school districts, they were doing the hybrid model. Then they were in person for a few weeks, and now they're back to hybrid or remote. So it's just been interesting covering that. It seems like every few weeks there's something new going on, and... And then another focus I've been doing lately is on our frontline workers at Marion General. I wrote a story last month about three nurses that are either in the ICU or working in hospice care, just telling me about their experiences. Sometimes they have to work around the clock. And just try to make the patients as comfortable as possible in such a devastating situation. Calling their family members or bringing pictures of family to the room, getting their favorite foods, it's just, I can't imagine what it's like being in their shoes every day.
Right.
And since writing these stories, I have an even greater appreciation for our frontline workers and all they go through.
Right, right. It seems kind of unfair. They work tirelessly, like our thought for today, right? And they're hoping to bring about change to help these people feel better and be well. And like you're saying, you can't just visit people anymore in the hospital, can you?
No, you can't. You have to do everything virtually.
Oh, okay. So you can just call out there or something? And how do they do that?
From what I've been told, it seems like the doctors or nurses, they arrange for a patient to talk to their family members, either for FaceTime or Zoom.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Everybody else is using FaceTime and Zoom, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that should bring them some comfort. Little. It's not the same, but...
Yeah, nurses did say that helped a lot.
Well, good. Good.
Gives them something to live for.
There you go. Something to live for. Because it would be terrible to think that you're just completely cut off from your loved ones. That sounds terrible, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Wow. So. And to think that out of all your reporting, other than the nurses, did you find anything or anyone else in their professions interesting as we're going through this COVID-19?
And then a few weeks ago, I did talk to the warden of Marion Correctional Institution.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yes, she recently won a Warden of the Year award from the Ohio Department of Rehab and Correction.
Okay.
And I know MCI was a big hot spot during the beginning of the pandemic. So,
oh, yeah.
So she was just talking about how she brought the numbers down by putting in a bunch of COVID protocols, like having the inmates sleep, told to sleep on opposite sides of the bunks so they weren't like facing each other. Just doing, coarse mask, social distancing, hand sanitizing stations.
That sounds horrible to be locked up and have to deal with the COVID, such close contact with people. But so I guess the numbers have slowed down out there as far as cases and deaths.
Yes, from the last time I checked, there was only one inmate case and 6 staff cases.
No, that really has come down quite a bit. Yeah.
Yes, when they were dealing with more than 2,000 cases at one time.
That's almost the entire institution, isn't it? Like 2,000, 2,500? I don't know what the population out there is. But from what I think I remember is like 2,500, less than 3,000 inmates out there.
I'm not sure the exact population of the prison.
Yeah, me either. I was just guessing. Seemed like it's there. Like almost the entire place was a hot spot, for COVID-19. Now, what about the schools? Do they have many cases in the school? Have you, in your reporting, have you found out anything about that? Is there just less than, like, the prisons?
Oh, there's, it's way less than the prisons, but you still have a significant amount of cases. I don't have the exact numbers with me, but it's mostly the students or staff were out due to being in quarantine. So maybe a couple of students will get infected, but they would have maybe 25, 30 students out in quarantine for 2 weeks. And I know that really affected their schoolwork or staff being out in quarantine, having to find a substitute teacher.
Right. willing to come in there during COVID, right? I guess that could be.
And not many are coming in. There's been a shortage, actually.
Okay, I'm sure. I'm sure it would be. A lot of people are just not that comfortable, even though, you know, it's not this big case. And I've heard that students, the younger they are, the less that they are affected by the COVID-19. And then they're saying we got new strains, which I'm going to be getting the health department on the phone here soon. One show I'll do with them to bring our listeners up to date about the COVID-19 and where we stand. What do you think about having to probably wear masks and social distance for another 2 years?
I'm getting really, a little tired of wearing a mask and just social distancing. I can't imagine being in this situation for another 2 years. Just our world has changed so much already.
I know. It just really has. And I think about you as a reporter and all the news that you have to report. It's like, whoa, okay. Education and health, COVID-19. So,
But I'm willing to do, you know, whatever it takes to curb the growth of this virus. You know, wearing masks, social distancing,
right?
Not going out as much,
right? Doing your part, right?
Yes.
I'm there with you. Let me do my part. Stay home as much as possible. Keep my mask and you know, keep my hands clean. Social distancing. I do go to church, though, on Sundays. I went to Bible study Wednesday night, which I don't go every Wednesday. Depends how I'm feeling, you know, or how cold it may be. It was really cold today. I didn't realize it was so cold.
Yeah, it was. It's chilly out there.
Ooh, chilly. I've been in the house all day, right? Like, wow, it's cold out here. It's still in the 20s. And I got in the car. Wow, okay.
Winter time is here.
That's true. Well, one thing, we don't have much snow. How much snow did you get in Dearborn in the winter?
Well, the last few winters have been pretty mild. We didn't get a lot of snow.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a cold,
you know,
being dealing with temperatures in the 20s and 30s. But yeah, no snow, which is good for me because I'm not a big fan of winter.
So you don't like to slip and slide?
No.
Make snowmen or snow angels in the snow. Whoa.
I mean, I was a kid, but
yeah,
not now.
Not now, huh? It took me so long to grow out of that. I used to do that well in my 40s. I used to do that. Seems like we have a call. Let's see who this is. Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Pastor Jackie Peterson.
Hi, Pastor Jackie. How are you today?
I'm good, and I just want to say welcome to Micah, to the city. And I thank her for the wonderful job that she does. And she's been just a really blessing to our community. So I just wanted to say to her again to keep doing the great job that she's doing, and we are really, again, excited about her being here in the city.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you so much.
You're really so welcome.
Yes, and thank you for calling in.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I just want to say really appreciate all the support from the Black community here in Marion as well. Like with Pastor Jackie and Tara Dyer and Johnny Jackson and so many others, and like yourself.
Right, absolutely.
Who really, appreciate the work I've been doing and have been reading, so thank you.
Of course. We're happy to have you. It'd be nice to even have more, but you know, and maybe we will in the future. Maybe not all reporters or journalists, but you know, downtown area, just doing different things and bringing their gifts and talents to the city. And now I guess we have new restaurants. Have you done any writing on the Harding Harbor?
Oh,
the
yes.
new restaurant? You have?
Yes, I did talk to Chris Rennick when he was about to open his restaurant.
Okay.
And it's really nice. I like the way it turned out.
All right.
And the food's great, too.
I haven't been there yet. I'm going to have to go try it.
Yeah, I recommend the Alfredo pasta. That was really good.
Really? My baby girl loves Alfredo. That's her favorite thing, you know, Alfredo pasta. Okay, I'll write that down. So when I do go, I don't know where I'm going to go now. And I think there's another new one coming, isn't it? Is that on Main Street behind the courthouse? Oh. It's supposed to be Coney Dogs from Michigan or something like that. I don't think they have the name up yet. I think they're in there trying to get it together. Had you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't.
Okay. They've painted the... It's real skinny, like, place. And they painted the bottom part like a red or a burgundy type color. And I think they're going to be going in there. So what about the... there's a hall downtown on Main Street, isn't there, where you can rent to have parties and things like that?
I'm not sure.
Okay. I didn't know if you had done anything about that. What about the new grocery store we have downtown?
Oh, yes, I was there for the grand opening.
Okay.
Of that, the grocery store is really turned out nice. I'm glad people in the community have a place to buy groceries who may not live close to the two Kroger's or the Walmart on the other side of town.
Kind of convenient. There's a lot of people that live and reside downtown over the businesses, I think. That helps, too. That helps them a lot. Yep. I went there. I don't know. I think it was the week they grand opened, and it was nice. I really enjoyed it. They have done a lot of work in there, you know, and they kept some of the old... I'm saying replicas, of course. They're antique now. Some of the decor that they have in there came from the old cigar store, like the Indian with the feathers and stuff. Some of those things they kept incorporated into their new design.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
I like that there's a piece of history still at the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That old cornerstone. Right downtown Marion, boy. So I'm glad Marion is growing, and it seems to be growing with young people like you coming to share their gifts and talents in our community. I thank you once again for answering that ad and coming here. We would have never known you, Micah Walker, but now we do. And we're happy that you are here, as Pastor Jackie called in mm-hmm. and also gave her opinion of you. So we are happy to have you, and we've worked together on a yes. project, didn't we?
Yes, with Miriam Voices.
Yes, we did. What did you think about that?
I thought it was really fun. Never worked on a project like that before. I never really been part of anything dealing with oral history or folklore. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to meet the community that way as well, and just get more out there and meeting new people and just and putting the show together.
Mm-hmm. It was different. It was nice.
Yeah. It's too bad it couldn't be in person. But I think the virtual event turned out well.
Oh, yeah. It did. It did. It turned out real well. I got a lot of feedback about it. I think three of my daughters was listening, and they liked it. I really appreciated some of the things that people shared about their own Christmases that they had, you know, with their parents and everything. And I thought, well, if I tell about mine, it's going to be too long. So I really didn't tell about it, but I did text it, you know, after the show is over. But I learned a valuable lesson by doing that. Just tell it. You know, yes. Just tell it. You know, don't be trying to shy away from talking about your past when everyone else took advantage of that opportunity. So I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. That was my first time doing anything like that, you know, also. So it was an experience for me, too. It was nice. It was nice.
Yeah, and I enjoyed hearing from the Twine family, too, about their Kwanzaa celebrations. And haven't had the chance to celebrate Kwanzaa, so it was interesting hearing about all their traditions.
That was neat, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I never knew they even celebrated Kwanzaa, but that goes for how much you know about people, right? But yeah, that was different. It was interesting, yeah. And their family. Yeah, and all of them went to, I forget the terminology, black colleges, I think.
Right. I think four of their children have been to HBCUs.
Okay. Historical black colleges. Is Akron U historical black college, or is that mixed?
I'm not sure.
Me either. My baby girl went there, Akron U. But go ahead, honey.
I was just going to say, I sometimes wonder what my experience would have been like if I had been to a HBCU. I ended up going to University of Michigan, Dearborn.
Okay. I don't know. I guess that's something to think about, isn't it? What would it be like, the experience? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know. Be nice to... Go ahead.
But we still got a good education, regardless, so...
That's all that matters, right?
Yeah.
Get you where you want to go. Right? Absolutely. Yeah. Was there something else you wanted to share with us? I see you got your tablet. I didn't even pay attention to it till now.
So I just wanted to share a few things I'll be working on in the next couple of weeks or so.
Okay.
So I've been working on another COVID story. I'm hoping to start a series on Marian residents' experience with having COVID or knowing somebody who had COVID. Speaking of of Pastor Jackie,
okay,
I actually interviewed her for the story. I'm focusing on COVID in the Black community and just how it's just hit our community the hardest. And in the coming weeks, I hope to hear from other Marian residents about their stories.
Why do you think it hit us so hard? You have an opinion on that?
Well, one thing is our pre-existing health conditions with high blood pressure and diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And then working essential jobs. You know, most Black people don't have the luxury of working from home.
Mm-hmm.
So that was that's another big factor.
Right. Being exposed out
yes.
there. Yeah. First responders. That's true. That's so true. Boy, this COVID thing, I don't know. Not only that, we've had this other jolt to our nation trying to take over the White House and things like that. Now, you being a reporter, how do you think you would have handled that situation if you had to report during that upheaval?
That's a good question.
Did you think about that? Did it even cross your mind how you would report?
Well, I know I've been very frightened, for one, mm-hmm. being there at the Capitol. I know many journalists had to hide and took it away from some of the rioters because mm-hmm. They didn't know what was going to happen. So just being in that situation, it's like I said, very frightening. But I think after all of the rioters started to go home, I probably would have been out getting interviews for some of the rioters or police officers that were in this situation.
You know, some reporters are really put in some very dangerous situations, you know, having to report. That's just one that I can think of right now. And I've seen them being storms, hurricanes, and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, we report through it all.
Yeah, you do. What is the worst situation you've been in to have to report? I know you just really started, right, since last year? Well, you was working also in Michigan, right, as a reporter?
Yes, I've been a professional journalist for about 5 years now.
Well, great. What's one of your most horrendous stories you've been a part of and had to report?
One of the most toughest situations I was in was a couple of years ago when I had my internship at the Detroit Free Press. A Detroit police officer had just been killed. So yes, the next day, me and a photographer, we went to the police officer's house to try to talk to his family. But of course, they were not in the mood to talk, so we just let them be. And actually, police was outside their house saying, you know, don't disturb them. So we did the next best thing and went to different neighbors' houses to try to get some anecdotes from them.
Right, right.
So
I guess that was a pretty stressed out job, you know, and then people didn't want to talk to you, you know, share their story, how they felt and all that.
Yeah, but it was understandable.
Yeah.
I mean, they had just lost their husband, their father in less than 24 hours, so I know they weren't the most talkative.
Right, right. Well, like we've said earlier, you know, we're just living in peerless times, dangerous times, you know. You really can't put your finger on what's going on, when it's going to happen. Well, we never could, but but it's just like getting out of control. I feel it's way out of control. But even though we've been told, you know, toward the end of time, things would get out of control as far as us human being able to really deal with things that's out of our control, which now things are out of our control. And all we can do is try to do our best. Follow rules and laws, you know, and laws are for the lawless. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Even though they don't care or want to, you know, pay attention to them, but laws are for them, for the lawless, right? Wow. Go figure where we are today. So you're going to be doing, did I cut you off, honey?
Oh, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
So you're going to be doing a story on the COVID-19 and its effect in the Black community. This is for the future, right?
Actually, the story will be coming out this week.
This week. Okay. All right. We'll be looking forward to that.
And this week will just be about the about Black residents, but I'm hoping to get other residents as well and hear their stories.
Okay. Okay. I know Pastor Jackie lost her mother to that COVID. And we, you know, you never want to hear of people losing a loved one and then something like this comes about and they fall prey to, you know, the COVID-19. And we just really try to lift her up and her family up in prayer. Because Miss Bertha I liked her very much. I really did, Jackie's mother. She always would talk to me, huh?
Yeah, so sad what happened.
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, and the many other ones, a few more have passed in our community with the COVID, you know. I might not know them all by name, but I do know quite well that her mother was one of them. And they suffered the loss of losing their loved one, you know.
Yeah, she said it happened within weeks, too, of her getting tested. So yeah, I just can't even imagine just losing one of the biggest people in your life so suddenly.
I know. And I guess even with all your reporting, facts, the truth, so many people don't believe it.
I know. It's just, I don't understand how some people can say that, you know, we're fake news and that we're not telling the truth, when me and my other coworkers, we work so hard to tell accurate reporting.
Mm-hmm.
And just journalists across the country working hard through this pandemic and all the social uprisings and everything else that's been going on the last year.
Yeah, same here. What was your opinion about what happened last Wednesday?
Oh, last
Wednesday.
On our
nation's capital, yeah. What did you think about that?
Well, I can't say too much of my opinion, being a journalist,
right.
But I will say that it was such a tragedy. I never seen anything like that before happening at our nation's capital. I feel for the five people that lost their lives during that riot. They shouldn't pass away like that. And it was just just throwing our democracy away, I think.
Yeah. Freedom. They're saying freedom's not free. Wow, and the cost that they suggest we pay for it, oh my gosh. But hopefully things will get back to normal. And I say that, not even know what normal's going to look like again, right?
No, I think it's going to be a while before we get back to normal, or at least a new normal.
A new normal. So that's probably the best that we can hope for now, is a new normal. And they say that the vaccines are going to take so long to reach everybody that we'll be in 2022.
Yeah, because the state's already experiencing delays just vaccinating the healthcare workers. They didn't reach the goal they wanted to. So it probably won't be until spring or the summer until the general public starts receiving vaccines.
And that's quite a ways off. We're just in January, right?
Yes.
Just in January. The 11th day, matter of fact. Wow. So is there anything that you would like to leave with us here before your time is up? We have another 2 minutes, Micah.
Sure. I just wanted to say that the Marion Star is always looking to tell stories from residents. So if you have a story idea that you want to share, you can reach me at my number, which is 740-251-7199. Again, 740-251-7199. Or you can email me at mwalker@nncoganett.com, and we'll try to put your story out there.
All righty. Did you have something else?
No, I think that about covers it. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for coming. I really have enjoyed it. This is her first time on radio, too. Just thinking, she's a reporter. Not much different, is it? I guess I do the same thing. I'm a reporter, too, in a way, right?
Yes.
Yeah, talking about people in their lives. But thank you for listening to A Voice of a People. And thank you once again to my guest, Micah Walker, the reporter of the Marion Star here in Marion, Ohio. Till next time, be blessed.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The voices you want to hear. From Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
What is something, because it's years later now, that would have been a huge show at the time, like a Dr. Quinn, like a David Letterman?
Uh-huh.
You okay? Okay.
Yeah.
The chair buckled over there. Okay. For people listening, you know, something that came in that would have been huge. A huge show that he did not do because
of something.
Because he thought, you know, it's just not me. I have to go in a second.
Yes, there is. Now, our chair keeper over there tells us we're almost up out of time.
I just about didn't survive that. Oh my goodness.
but we have to. We didn't. That's the question. You don't know it, evidently,
yeah.
Right?
I'd like to have a prize. I'm hungry.
Oh,
you're hungry? Well, there's donuts. There's a whole box.
No.
There's orange juice. There's coffee.
I got a friend out there.
There's
I
bring her over. There's a T-bone steak and.
You know what you're gonna get? Five fingers.
Well, we can give you a delivery to take out to your friend, and we have the question. So you don't know it, right? You don't know.